The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Donal O'Shea is with me first, though, the clinical lead on obesity for the HSE, to talk about Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro and all these other weight loss drugs that people would be familiar with. You might have seen today, actually, the numbers of these types of drugs seized at our ports and airports on the way in. It has gone through the roof over the last 12 months, which is not entirely surprising, it has to be said. But Donal, what I want to talk to you about are side effects and reported side effects, because and I think it's important to stress, these are headlines that you might read in newspapers, not kind of academic journals and peer-reviewed research. But I had a little look to remind myself of some of the headlines I've seen over the last maybe 6 months. So this is just a couple of minutes online before I came in here. I found headlines that suggest that they would prevent heart disease, another headline saying they would cause heart disease. I found one said it would improve my mood. I found a headline saying it would cause depression. I found one saying that this will make me more fertile. I found one that said it would make me infertile. And probably most worryingly, I found one said it's going to prevent cancer. And another one says firmly it will cause cancer. Yeah. So there is this kind of complete smorgasbord of information out there, and misinformation and disinformation and myth. And I mean, there's fact in there somewhere. And I guess what we want to try and get to here is wherein lies that fact.
So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Like, with the arrival of a really first in class effective medical treatment for obesity, we have kind of lost our way in a sandstorm of headlines and misinformation that has hijacked the narrative that should have followed the arrival of effective obesity treatments. So we know that treating obesity is good for the 220 diseases that obesity drives. It's good for the diabetes, it's good for the blood pressure, it's good for the cancer. Any time a treatment for a disease has arrived in the past, it has demystified what surrounds the disease. And you go back to demons and epilepsy and demonic possession, and suddenly demystified when you had effective treatments for seizure disorders. But now we have a scenario where I've been asked all range of questions about the good side, the bad side. Every class of drug treatment has side effects. Mm. Every drug in the world can cause kind of an idiosyncratic, just a one-off reaction. So you could start a treatment with any drug and feel very down yourself and say, I wonder was it the drug, and then stop it and you feel better. And for you, that specific reaction has been, yeah, you were caused, it caused you to be depressed. But the majority of people who are taking a drug will have their mood unaffected by it. Mm. And in general, the quality of life and mental health of people studied in with the GLP family of Ozempic and Mounjaro has been an improvement in mood and an improvement in quality of life. When we're telling somebody that we think they should start this obesity treatment, we don't tell them to anticipate an improvement in mood. We talk to them about the side effects, and the side effects of these treatments are mainly gastrointestinal.
Yeah.
So, because it's a gut hormone, it does its work in the gut. So these treatments have effects on the gut, and it's nausea, it's constipation, it's kind of rotten egg burps. It does delay gastric emptying. And if you delay gastric emptying, then some of the tablets that you take may have a slightly different absorption profile. Okay.
Some of the other tablets.
Some
you
of the
might
other
be
tablets.
Taking. Okay.
Yeah. So when they talk about, you know, does your HRT, your hormone replacement treatment after the menopause, reach a different level or have a different pattern of a kind of arriving in your bloodstream? Yes. But it's mild. It's been looked at in all the clinical trials, and women on the pill were in clinical trials. And, you know, there wasn't a major kind of outbreak of pregnancies. Mm. There's a lot of talk about these drugs and fertility.
Right? Yeah.
Any treatment that causes you to lose weight, whether it's surgery or other less effective treatments like we've had in the past, is associated with an improvement in mood, self-image, self-esteem. You're therefore more likely to go out, get into a relationship, and therefore become pregnant. In addition to that, and that's true male or female, so if you lose weight as a man, you make more sperm.
Yeah.
If you lose weight as a female, you ovulate more often with each cycle.
So it's not necessarily that the drug is causing it, it's the consequence of what the drug is causing it.
It's effective treatment of the disease of obesity leads to more ovulation, better mood, better form, more likely to, you know, get up to activities that will result in pregnancy.
Yeah, so one wonders whether the degree to which headlines about these weight loss drugs appear in the paper is just a consequence of their popularity or their perceived popularity or the anticipation people have for kind of weight loss intervention, and whether maybe they're the first of their kind in the social media age. I know there's new kind of medical interventions being developed every day, but they're not necessarily on kind of this possible scale of intervention.
Yeah,
had penicillin been kind of, had Alexander Fleming been around today, I wonder would we be dealing with this with penicillin?
You know, it's quite possible if he was that penicillin would never get to market. The difficulty there is getting a drug to market, actually. So I think that the headlines, so there has never been a drug arrived in the world before that is suitable for 67% of the world's population.
Yes.
So
that's a better way of putting it. Yes, exactly.
So that is going to bring with it intense interest. I do lots of interviews, and the journalists can be very accurate in their recording of what I'm talking to them about. But they've always said to me, but we can't control the headlines.
Mm.
And I've often seen a headline associated with an article that would say something like skinny jab, fat jab, that I've done an interview. And like, I'm gutted because these are not weight loss treatments. These are obesity treatments.
Mm.
And obesity is a chronic relapsing disease that the World Health Organization is hoping will be declared an emergency later this year to give the right impetus. I mean, I consider it an emergency and a pandemic, but they want it actually rated globally as an emergency so that we respond to it even more effectively and aggressively over the next 5 years.
Should there be stricter rules and regulations about how, you know, academic research is reported and presented in the media, for example? Because it's not just Ozempic, for, you know, you'll pick up the newspaper any day of the week, and if you flick through them all, you'll find a headline somewhere about, you know, be it a glass of red wine or a cup of coffee or something else. And it'll suggest that, you know, a cup of coffee every day at 11:15 a.m. exactly will prevent Alzheimer's. Yeah.
And
it turned out it was kind of one rat in one lab in Stockholm somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we need a much better engagement with, if you like, science in the social media space. So for exactly this reason, about 2 months ago, we set up, our research group set up a TikTok page and an Instagram page, and we're posting regularly. And, you know, papers I've published, peer-reviewed papers, have been cited over the last 30 years about 6,000 times. That's a lot in academic terms. But it's within an echo chamber. The TikTok posts have been viewed over 3 million times with thousands of followers. And it's not my science colleagues or my medical colleagues. It's people who are interested. And clearly, there is an appetite for trusted voices in the social media space. So I'm trying to debunk some of the Ozempic headline myths. By just saying, no, it's not true.
And when you said right at the outset there that, you know, that we're still in the early days of the development of this drug or its rollout, certainly amongst the population, and there's already a feeling the narrative is being lost, what is the consequence of that, of losing the narrative?
So I think if we lose the narrative, then two things will happen. Obesity will not become destigmatized and truly recognized as a disease. It will remain caught up in this obesity as a choice and a behavior. And I think the treatment of obesity may not be rolled out in the prospective planned way that it needs to be for any disease. You know, we have a cardiovascular strategy. We have a cancer strategy. Mm. We have good treatment centres for cancer. We have good diabetes treatment centres where people with diabetes get the treatment they need. I think if this kind of sandstorm of misinformation continues, that you won't be able to stand up those treatment services because you won't get funding or buy-in from the politicians that ultimately are the people who decide the budgets.
Do we have an obesity strategy?
We have an obesity strategy. We're updating it. The World Health Organization has taken our obesity strategy as their and our obesity model of care as the one they think that should be adapted for use internationally, which is great and a very big endorsement.
Yeah.
But it's all the more reason to try and stand up services that incorporate the use of these new drugs and to do that in a planned way so that we're actually treating what is the most common disease we have in the country effectively.
Can I ask you then, before I let you go, just about that figure I mentioned at the outset that we had today, a massive increase in the number of these types of drugs seized at ports and airports by customs officials. It would suggest plenty of people are buying them online. We all know that anecdotally, and there's lots of people here texting in. I can see the text line saying that they know people as well who are buying them online and giving themselves the jab, as they say, in the arm every day of the week or every week.
Yeah.
What's your advice to those people listening to this show who are doing exactly that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people who are doing that need to just think about what they're doing to their bodies outside of appropriate medical advice and supervision, and would they apply that to the same thinking to their blood pressure, the same thinking to their cholesterol level, their same thinking to their diabetes? All medication really needs to have, I'm not saying, I mean, any medication really needs to be prescribed by somebody who knows what it does, who knows if it's suitable for you, and who will review you and say, after 3 months, this hasn't been effective for you, we should stop it because you're only risking the side effects which come with every class of medication and you're not getting the benefits.
Yeah. This kind of strays into the social issues more than anything else, but doesn't it suggest that there's just a remarkable pressure people feel under to lose weight when, as you say, they wouldn't, if they needed statins, say to the doctor, you know, you're all right, I'm going to buy them online, I'll get them cheaper from some factory in China. I don't know what I'm taking, but I'll take the risk. Yeah. They wouldn't do it.
No.
Yet they will absolutely, and these are intelligent people, will absolutely do the same thing with Ozempic or something like it.
I mean, broadly, Ireland.
And that's a societal pressure, or it's a pressure they put on themselves based on environmental factors, one would suggest.
Yeah, and you know, Ireland is quite an intelligent country.
Mm.
And we are ahead of the game in the way people are self-administering these treatments. And you would love to see that kind of activity just dwindle as we understand the disease of obesity more. That is happening, and I'm not wanting this to be, it's all about the doctor doing the prescribing thing. You know, we have nurse prescribing now. In time, we may have pharmacy prescribing like they do in the UK. I want wider availability, but with the right supervision and the right information out there.
Thanks a million for joining us. Donal O'Shea, clinical lead on obesity for the HSE. If people want the right information on TikTok, where will they find you?
At O'Shea Hogan Labs.
There you go, at O'Shea Hogan Labs, and you'll find it all. So ignore the headlines and look to that for advice. Donal, again, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.